I had patio doors in my room. I had opened the patio doors to let some air into my room just outside the door on my phone. And when I turned to go back in, he grabbed me.
And what happened next?
So he gave me a small bit of a belt in the nose when he did grab me. So I had a nosebleed. I actually thought it was one of my housemates messing with me at first. I actually was laughing, thought they were just trying to scare me because I know they had a couple of friends down. But then I obviously, when I looked down, I saw my nose was bleeding and he was wearing gloves. And then I kind of got a bit panicked and he had me from behind and he lifted me up off the ground and I was being choked. That didn't last for too long. And then it was more so that he was just holding me at the back of the door, telling me that to get the car keys. And I was saying I didn't know where they were. They were one of my housemate's friend's car that he was talking about, that was parked in the driveway, and I didn't know where the keys were. I was offering money. I was offering my friend's MacBook was on the floor in front of me, and I offered that up fairly quick. But he didn't want anything by the car keys, so he held me for a while. And then when he realised that he wasn't going to get the car keys and I couldn't help him, he let me go. But told me not to turn around. So I never saw him.
And he left.
And he left. Yeah, he left. And I didn't turn around. I was shaking. I stood inside the door and I closed and locked the door without turning my head. And like, there was people in my house. There was all boys in my house. I lived with all lads.
And were they there at the time?
They were there, but I had a bungalow. So my house was long. So all of them were up in the front room. And to be quite honest, he had his hand over my mouth and I made no noise. I always thought I'd be a fighter, but I did what I was told and I stayed quiet and I just tried to get out of there as quick as I could.
People have an image in their heads as to how they may react in a situation like that. But listening to you there, your immediate thought was, oh, this is a joke, because you're in disbelief and kind of shock, aren't you, initially? So he left, and obviously you were left shaken. How quickly did you get help?
So it was pretty much straight away. I walked up to the front room. The lads had a couple of friends over. So there was probably about 5 or 6 boys in my house at the time of this happening. And they were all messing with each other before I got home. So basically the lads in the front room had the door locked because the lads in the other room kept coming into them messing. So I went to go try get into this room and they were ignoring me because I couldn't get words out of my mouth. All I was doing was trying the door handle, and they were ignoring me because they thought it was one of the other lads trying to mess with them and they were trying to go to sleep. Eventually, I got the words of one of the lads' names out of my mouth and they realised it was me. And I was like a little child going like, oh, like, let me in or whatever. And he eventually was like, what's wrong? Open the door. And all I could say was there was a man out the back. And obviously I had blood on my face and whatever. And he went to go get one of the other lads who was older and bigger. And the two of them, in fairness, honestly, all of the lads were so, so, so good to me. They got a kitchen knife and a hurley and they went out and checked around the house and had a look around the house. And obviously I didn't feel safe there. So they all got up and walked me over to my friend's house where I stayed with them. And they were all just so, so, so good to me. It was like an hour or two later, which that's probably one thing I regret, is not calling the guards straight away. I don't know why. I think I had it in my head that I couldn't call them till the morning, or that I shouldn't call them until the morning, and that I should try get some rest or something. So that's probably one thing I definitely regret. And that's one thing the guards were asking me over and over, like, why didn't I call them straight away? So, yeah, that's obviously a big regret for me.
Sometimes you're in shock, I suppose, aren't you?
Yeah, you just don't think rationally. Like, it's the aftermath that really kills you. Like, it's 3 years this March since it happened. And like, I still have long term effects. It's really frustrating.
What kind of effects, Erica?
It was tough at the time. I'd go into my room and I'd burst into tears, like so much crying that I wouldn't even be able to breathe. Like after the first week or two after, obviously, you know, I started to get back to normal, but it was a year later where I started getting panic attacks and I just didn't feel safe. I couldn't go anywhere. I was supposed to go to a festival with my friends in the summer of 2023 and I couldn't go because I was so anxious and so worried. And I wasn't like myself at all. I was so carefree and I was so, yeah, I'll do that. And yeah, I'll go there. And yeah, that sounds great. Since that happened to me, I've been so worried and I've been so anxious and I'm always overthinking things and thinking, oh, what if I'm not safe? What if something happens? I'm currently out in New York. I moved out to my uncle for a while and I'm absolutely terrified of the subway. I will never wear headphones. I try my best not to go on it. If it's a 10-minute subway or a 15-minute walk, I'll pick the walk all the time. That's not to say every subway is bad, obviously, but it's just that's instilled in me now that something bad can happen. Because, you know, when you think about it, you're like, OK, that is terrible. But when it happens to you, it really, really, really has an effect. And I actually reached out to Chloe Coyce. I kind of briefly told her my story and just told her to try not let her mind spiral. And it is terrible. And to keep talking about it, because I know for the first month after it happened to me, I couldn't speak about the situation without crying. And now I'm on radio speaking about it, you know, so it is good to keep talking about it.
And how are you now? It's impacted you when you're out in public, for example, on the subway. But apart from that, how are you now?
For the last 2 years, I've been on medication for anxiety. I did give in to it. My doctors thought it was best. Because it was really affecting my day-to-day life. And honestly, I feel a lot better. I can talk, I can speak about it. I'm definitely less worried. And that's not to say I don't get anxious because I really do. But it is honestly, it's so much better. And it was probably the best decision for me. I don't know where I would be now if I didn't. When I watched that Chloe Coyce video, I actually had tears in my eyes because it sounds so stupid, but I recognised how she felt.
It does not sound stupid. It absolutely does not sound stupid. It makes absolute sense that you recognised. And what else did you feel when you watched it?
Oh, I was absolutely heartbroken for her. And I know our situations were different because she was actually followed and I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But it makes you feel the same. Like, I can't explain it. When I did watch the video, I genuinely, like, really resonated with it and I felt so bad for her. And it's not to say that it can't happen to a man either. It shouldn't happen to anyone. I like go to the gym 5 days a week. I would consider myself a strong woman, strong minded, everything else. But when it comes to a man versus a woman, it's unfortunate, but the man will always win in a physical act. So it really like knocks you down a few pegs.
This has always been an issue for women. This is an issue, has been an issue, and as far as I can see, will be an issue. How dare that guy think he could take off his belt and flex it in front of Chloe in an intimidating way in the lift, knowing exactly what he was doing? How dare he?
Yeah, I know. And you're right, like women can't, you know, Chloe and Lauren and whoever else was there, they took every precaution. And you can take every precaution and it can still go wrong.
Oh, well, the only other thing you do is not go out.
Yeah, I know. And you can't do that. And I thought I was never going to go out again, but I can't do that. Like, that's just not possible. No. I'm going to go out and I'm going to live my best life and I'm not going to let anyone else scare me or stop me. What can be done is from a young age, like, if you're going to be a man, be a good man. And other men need to stand up, and until it's somebody close to you, you don't realise how serious it is. My brothers were, or my father, I've never seen my father so upset. My father is not an emotional man, but when it came to me in that situation, I've never seen him so upset. Like, you don't realise how horrible it is until it's someone that you love. So, you know, it's just really important, if you're going to be a man, instill it in them from a young age. If you're going to be a man, be a good man. Choose to be a good man.
Erica, I have a lump in my throat listening to you. We know you. You were an intern here at the time. You had just started. And but to be talking to you 3 years on and you're still like this?
Yeah, it's been tough. But look, I am very grateful because it genuinely could have been a lot worse.
Mm.
And I think about this all the time. I got let go, you know, and I had no real physical anything done to me, really. It could have been so much worse. And there are people out there that I feel so, so bad for because they have been through a lot worse. But if one thing I can do is spread awareness, then that's what I would like to do.
What about parents of young yeah. boys and raising young boys?
You know, I think it's just so important to have a good, well, first of all, a good woman figure, but also a good man figure in young boys' lives. And also, I think there should be things in schools, you know, that will teach you about consent and that will teach you about respect. And I know they try to do this anyway, but I genuinely think it should be more and more instilled in schools, in primary schools and secondary schools, because the younger you get the respect and, you know, what is a good person, what is a good man, what is a good woman instilled in their heads at a young age. I think school is like the one common denominator where a lot of people, a lot of kids go and a lot of kids can learn to be better people.
Oh God, it's a tough week to be a woman, I'm telling you. Listening to that and Anne-Marie talking to Erica and me knowing Anne-Marie and knowing Anne-Marie has young daughters, teenagers, and that's what you think of? Now, you've been reacting to the story that Erica told at the top of the show. Martina says, that girl wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. Her attacker was in the wrong place. An excellent point, Martina. And Colm and Anna Cotty says, I've been listening to the young lady who was attacked in the last interview this morning. My heart goes out to her. It's terrible. This scumbag should have his arse kicked. Wishing this lady all the best, says Colm. And Alice says, well done, Erica. I'm in tears here. And Rita sent us a voice note.
I just want to applaud Erica for how she was talking about all the stuff she's gone through. Because like it really rings a bell with so many women, it resonates, and the more people speak up about it, the less it's kind of hidden away in the shadows. And I do think it's really important that men realise how widespread this is, and the majority of men are decent people, but like it has happened to so many women, you know, everywhere, like that they just don't feel safe because something has happened to them in the past, and it doesn't go away that quickly then, depending, you know, what happened to you, especially the severity of it all. And like I just think it erodes women's trust. And the way to overcome that, I think, is talking about it. And like, I encourage men everywhere out there to talk to their female family and friends and find out if they're willing to talk about it, just how widespread this is, because I can guarantee you that a lot of women will have stories similar to Erica.
Lee has also sent us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 123 95 95.
Morning guys, listen to the show every morning. Big fan of the show. Listening to the subject there about the video of Chloe Coyce and that other girl, my heart goes out to them. No woman should have to go through that. That lady that's on there at the moment makes a valid point about, you know, as a woman, you know, she feels intimidated, and that unfortunately she said that a man will nearly always win in a battle. Just in the interest of, and not to change the subject or take away light from what happened to these women, again, it's horrific. I watched the videos and yeah, my heart goes out to them. But in the interest of a fair debate, if you can come on here and openly say that a man will always win against a woman, how is it in this woke ideology and this woke time we're in, and yet the media still won't even define a woman? So you know, I think like proper debate needs to happen around this, because there's men out there identifying as women and women as men. Can we all agree that it's all just a little bit silly, and someone needs to wake up and say, right, women need to be protected. Women need to be protected, and it's not toxic masculinity to say that. It's just a fact.
I suppose, like, I have a story like that myself. And I really appreciate how much bravery it takes to talk about this. And I know all about the anxiety around it. I would say I'm, in quotation marks, over the worst of it. It's a long time ago what happened to me. But I would like to emphasise that it's not always the stranger in an alley. It's often somebody you know that, you know, you trust, and you don't expect anything bad to happen in their presence. So, yeah, I think more and more women need to be talking about this.
And I want to take this opportunity to share Ella Deasy's experience. She moved to on-campus accommodation in University of Limerick in September of 2024. Later, she found out that a young man had created a TikTok in which he shared his hopes for the year ahead, which included eggs thrown at Ella Deasy's house. Now, of course, that could have been taken with a pinch of salt, but unfortunately, Minister, it didn't end there. It turned out that a WhatsApp group had been created of 200 young men who all wanted to target her house. Frighteningly, they knew not only the house number, but the room in which she was living, and congregated at the back of the house outside her window shouting and chanting. She reported this to the one at that point. This continued the following night with doorbells ringing in the middle of the night, eggs were thrown at the door, yogurt put on the door handle, and then this continued on over a number of nights, and it escalated to attempts to kick in her door. There is no other way of putting this, Minister, other than that this is an incredibly frightening experience. Now, when I heard this story, I found it deeply concerning, and what really struck me was the fact that there was a WhatsApp group with over 200 young men discussing viewing or participating in this WhatsApp group. And as Ella said herself, so just imagine 200 boys against one girl. We need to do better for our young women, and equally we need to do better for our young men.
First of all, I want to say it unequivocally, it is unacceptable and shameful that any woman, indeed any individual, should face harassment of any kind while in their place of study and at their student accommodation, a place where people are typically young and often vulnerable and forming their initial entry into the world of adulthood, and having this kind of activity is absolutely abhorrent for anybody to experience. Everybody should feel they have a safe environment in which to study, free from violence and harassment. And more widely, individuals should feel free to exist, work, study and live the sick ask, I think, of any society. It is critical that higher education institutions, indeed all places of work and study, take proactive steps when issues of concern are brought to their attention. The deputies will be aware that universities are autonomous under our code in Ireland, but I'm stating very clearly in the record of the Dáil that there is an expectation that they would take proactive steps.
But this father has got in touch with us this morning, and I want to finish the show with his reaction. He says, "Hi Gillian, I'm a dad of a 13-year-old girl. To hear this lady's story is every father's worst nightmare. Assaults on women and young women in particular is on the increase. I've tried to encourage my daughter to join a self-defense class or jiu-jitsu class or anything like that, so that if something like this was ever to happen, that she would have some hope of escaping her attacker and shouting for help. But she tells me she's fine and she'll be grand and won't join up. I can't or wouldn't make her, but I will continue to encourage her because I think it's something all young girls should be able to do, to give them some glimmer of hope that they can escape these predators when they strike. I think it should be taught in secondary schools along with PE class. I think if some of my daughter's peers were enrolled in a self-defense class, she'd sign up. But having just entered the teenage years, she doesn't want to stand out on her own. Instead, we are all just talking about this and then brushing it under the carpet until the next horrific attack or sexual assault or rape or murder happens. Could some politician or councillors actually take on this issue and, with the help and support of really concerned parents, do everything we can to protect our daughters, our sisters, our girlfriends, wives and mothers before we have another young girl's life ruined or worse? Regards, Pat."